This is an NITV radio podcast. For the full program, visit sbs.com.au/NITV radio.
Well, about probably 18 months ago, it was announced that there was going to be an $11 million scheme for stolen generation survivors in South Australia. And $6 million of that $11 million was to be put towards an individual reparations fund that people could apply for as individuals. The remaining $5 million was put toward a community reparations scheme for people to apply for in relation to setting up memorials, all sorts of things, including oral histories, if people wanted to do that, if people want to write their stories, like in a book form, autobiographies as such, and for theatre and the arts, and all sorts of different things. So, yeah, $11 million was committed by the South Australian Wetherill State Government.
Cheryl Axelby from the Aboriginal Legal Rights Movement in South Australia said that no amount of money would ever be enough to compensate members of the Stolen Generations. As someone who's receiving reparations, how are you personally feeling about that, and what does it mean to you?
I classify myself as a survivor of the Stolen Generations. I think Groucho Marx made a comment once where it's not a club that we'd really want to be a member of. I sort of feel a little bit about it like that, but anything is better than victim. So we've sort of like turning it around to, you know, being Stolen Generation survivors, and I think that's what we are. And I think, yeah, Cheryl Axelby was certainly right. No amount of money could ever repair the past, but it's a lot more than that. And I can only talk on behalf of myself. I would never, ever dare to talk on behalf of anyone else in the Indigenous community but myself. But my story would be similar to a lot of other people in that I went back to my parents and my family in Alice Springs from Adelaide when I was 18. I went back relatively early on, and as soon as it was like I was legally able to sort of like get out of the situation that I was in, I was sort of like already making questions and going to all the old Nungas around town here and asking them questions. You know, they were great, those old Nungas of the past. I think there has been an offer made, and you know, the offer that is being made, which has been made public, is $20,000 to individuals. I agree that no amount of money can ever really equate to what people have gone through, and especially I pay a lot of respect to my elders because I'm one of the younger of the Stolen Generation survivors. I just really feel for them. And also, there was quite a few people, I believe, who actually received letters saying that their applications were unsuccessful. And I think my heart really goes out to those people because I just can't imagine getting a letter from the state government saying that you've been rejected, basically. I think we really have to look out for those people, and my heart goes out to them because I think that that's really sad.
I think it's sort of similar to the stolen wages reparations in Queensland, where application process was deemed to be a hard process for people, and there would have to still be some forms of ways of actually proving it, which for someone who has been taken from their family, who might not have documentation or anything like that, it couldn't be an easy road.
Absolutely. That's exactly a very valid point. In my particular case, I wasn't even born in South Australia. I was born in the Northern Territory, but of course the Northern Territory didn't have its own government until 1978, so everything was under the rule of South Australia, with the South Australia crest and logo and letterhead and everything like that. So the terms of reference for the individual applications were that whether you were removed by the government of South Australia and or one of their agencies. So in my particular case, it was the Catholic Welfare, which was an agency, obviously, that were working with the South Australian government at the time, which has been proven by my being one of the people that has been offered the settlement.
Regarding, I guess, healing I know that the Healing Foundation, when they were with applications for reparations within state government jurisdictions, you know, there's also discussions around the future for elders regarding medical support or even going into care at later on in life. Can you see there being a way forward with that, where people will be looked after properly?
There could be. Perhaps there could have been more given to the individual reparations out of the 11 million. I think that's just my opinion. That's not an official opinion or anything or anyone else's. It's good that we can have places to go to talk to. Unfortunately, there's a lack of those places in South Australia, in Adelaide. There's not that many community-run organisations that we really feel, or that I certainly feel that I can really go to talk. There's actually really like a glowingly lack of places where I feel I could go to. And I don't necessarily want to go to some of the other agencies that have been suggested, such as, and this is nothing against Relationships Australia, but I don't necessarily want to go to Relationships Australia and to other non-Indigenous community-based support groups that I could go to. And I think from what I'm hearing, there's a lot of other people that feel like that too. As I sit here right now in Adelaide, I can honestly say that if I really wanted help because I was going through some sort of a crisis to do with this, where would I go? I actually would be questioning, where can I go? Who can I go to, like-minded people like me, to talk to, as opposed to being sort of directed through to other agencies that are not necessarily Indigenous community-based groups.
What about going home to country? What does it mean for you, or can you talk about your situation regarding that?
Absolutely. I actually, when I was 18, I went back, reconnected with all my family there. Unfortunately, my father had sort of just passed away a year or so before I went back. So I think, you know, that happens with a lot of us. You know, like a lot of people have gone back and, you know, we've missed people. That's one of the key issues. My father, who was a great man by the name of Billy Wilson, he was from a place called Tichikala, which is about 100 miles south out of Alice Springs, a little community that used to also be known as Merivale Station. So I reconnected with all my family there. When you do go back to family, it's not always rosy in the garden for a lot of people. You know, it doesn't just stop there. It actually starts there. That's a point that I always try to make. You know, you have to develop almost like new relationships. And that can be really confronting. With me, I've always been a bit of a resilient person. And I just, it was like, okay, this is here. I'm dealing with it. And let's just do it. By and large, I believe being pretty successful. You know, I have a good relationship with just about everyone in my family. There's always going to be one or two that will never really ever accept you. And in my particular case, I had a name change. So that was also an issue. My name originally at birth was John Henry Braun, which was strange because it wasn't after my father. I don't think anyone really gave my traditional father any rights at all when it came to me, and he's not even listed on the birth certificate, and I just find that really sad for him, because he was a young man who'd been through law. He was a lawman, and I think it would have been really hard for him that his oldest son was taken away, and he didn't have any say, any rights, nothing. And he did come down looking for me in Adelaide, and so did my mother at another time. She came down looking for me as well. I just find that really sad, because that really affected the rest of their particular lives. I was brought up under Martin Pascoe. My name was changed. And so when I went back to Alice Springs when I was 18, everyone's calling me John, and I'm thinking, well, who's John? And they said, well, that's you. You were named John. And we've always referred to as John. Where's John? Will he ever come back to us? And I said, well, I was brought up under Martin Pascoe, but if you want to call me John, that's fine. So I just dealt with it. I also made sure that I was very strong, that, you know, I kept the Martin Pasco, because that wasn't just a, like a stolen or removed name. That was the name that I had for 18 years. And so what I've done is combine the two, and now I'm, you know, I've been on NITV and other places on, as Pasco Braun. I'd like to incorporate a little bit of both of me in my name. It's just a name, but a name is important. And I'm really comfortable with Pasco Braun. My family in Alice call me John, and all the people I grew up with in Adelaide call me Martin. That's the way that I've dealt with it. I've just said, okay. But professionally, when I do NITV stuff, or when I perform on shows like I did that one particular time on The Voice a couple of years ago when I went on as a singer, I went under Pasco Braun. I'm really comfortable with that because it sort of encompasses me, because I've been able to sort of work it both ways, which is comfortable for me.
I really appreciate you sharing your story with us. Thank you so much for joining NITV Radio. Obviously, we do wish you the best and hope that we can hear you down the track on other stories. And, yeah, thank you so much for your time.
Yeah, I'm loving it. And at the moment, I work as a contractor for the same organisation that were a big part of removing me. And that, in my own way, that is sort of like I'm almost self-medicating. Like, and I think a lot of our beautiful Stolen Generation survivors, we do self-medicate. We just get through. Yes, it can be hard, and sometimes it's really more confrontational than anyone could ever imagine. But the word survivors is really strong for us. So Stolen Generation people are survivors, and because when you put people as a victim, Stolen Generation victim, to me, that's sort of like perpetuating the whole ideology of you're a victim, you always will be a victim, and that's where we like to keep you, because, you know, we feel comfortable if you're a victim. You know what I mean, Kirsten?
Yeah, yeah. Survivor is definitely a good word to use.
I just hope that people who weren't offered a settlement under the South Australian Stolen Generations Reparations Scheme are looked after. My heart and soul is thinking of those people. I just think that we've got to look after them. And we need more community-based groups, support groups, here in South Australia to make that happen, because at the moment that is, like, really lacking here.
And can you just let us know, what job are you actually doing now?
I did a journalism degree at RMIT in Melbourne in the 90s, and so, you know, I've worked as a journalist, as you so beautifully put it in your introduction, and thanks for that, and congratulations to you as well for being such a great journalist.
Oh,
and also, I've done a lot of music. Music sort of saved me in a lot of ways, and so I deliver music and media programs in several primary and secondary schools all around the Adelaide metropolitan region. Out of the community fund, as I was talking before about the $20,000 individual reparations, but out of the community fund, I applied for funding to put on some sort of a performance, which is going to be sort of like a one-man type show with a couple of other people in it. It's going to have a lot of music, original music. It's going to have our usual dark comedy that we have, and I've certainly grown up with that in me. And also, it's going to really pay tribute to my mother and father, you know, because they're the ones who I firmly believe bore the brunt of what happened to me. It's nothing like growing up with your mother and father, and I did miss out on a lot of that, but I'm grateful for the little things in life, and I think the fact that I have such a great relationship I had with Mum and her mother, and, you know, my uncles and all that, and my cousins, is great in Alice Springs with the Braunes, but also with my Wilson side out in the bush, having a great relationship with them as well. Actually, in a pretty good sort of place at the moment. Like I said, my heart goes out to people who have missed out, because nobody could ever say, well, you know, you missed out because you're not Stolen Generations, in my opinion. Because if you've grown up thinking that you are, and you've applied, and it was a very lengthy application process to go through with this, you know, to then receive a rejection, I just think we've got to look after those people. They're our family too.
This was an NITV Radio podcast. For more, visit sbs.com.au/NITV Radio or download the SBS Radio app.